How many of y'all recognize that tune? Raise your hand if you recognize it. Yeah, see. How many of y'all sang along with it? See, I knew something would like that would happen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Journey Church. First order of business this morning, if you are a kid in second through fifth grade and would like to go to Kidmo, you are dismissed. If you're an adult and would like to go in there and help, they will probably take you as well. How many of you guys read our blog this week or any of the posts and were curious about what we would be talking about today? Did anybody actually read our email blast this week? I've got a couple here that read it. I kind of led that off with that and a couple of posts on Facebook. Have you heard any good rumors lately? How many of y'all hate rumors and drama in your life? Man, is it just not business owners? What does it do to your business? Exactly. Oh, yeah. That probably sums it up. And yeah, is what that does. But, oh. See, it can work to your advantage sometimes. That's right. Adventure Guild brought zip lines to America in 2010. Fantastic. There is a free plug for our brother Don over here. So if you need a zip line installed, there's not a large market in the home community for that. But yeah, rumors get started. Things get mixed up. Just like Don, that's a great example of how when something is said one way, intended another, and then it gets picked up and it's entirely different than what was meant. And we've been dealing with a little bit about that here at Journey, and we're going to share some of that this morning, just an honest talk. If you're a guest, some of this, you'll be thinking, well, why are they bringing all this out in public? There's a very positive reason for this, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because I think that one of the things we as church leaders are responsible to you for is when things are going on behind the scenes, whatever. We don't want rumors running around. We don't want gossip and things start. We want to hit things head on and be honest with you. We don't sweep things under the rug. And so that's the reason for part of this talk this morning. But it's also going to be some very positive things about what happens with the use of social media. Now, this is going to be a different question, so listen carefully how I ask this. How many of you do not text, do not have a smartphone, and don't use Facebook or Twitter? Would you raise your hand? Both of you, welcome to the crowd. Okay, good. Most of you will know what I'm talking about there. I'm still not sure Mrs. Payne has a Facebook account, but I'll have to look and see. If she did, it would be fantastic to follow her because she is a fantastic lady. But let's go to our first slide here. Here's a few things about what to put on Facebook and what not to. I love this one. God can hear your silent prayers. However, I do not believe that he needs your Facebook, reads your Facebook status. Stop airing your dirty laundry as a prayer. How many of y'all have heard that? I wouldn't mention this, but I mentioned it as a prayer request for this dear brother. No, you're not. You're wanting to see what people think about the trash in their lives when you post it online. Let's look at the next one. Your dirty laundry belongs in the washing machine, not on Facebook. Here's another good one. Thanks for airing all of your dirty laundry on Facebook so that you may then later whine about how people should stay out of your business. Boy, is that not the truth? I think, let's see, I may have an example here. That just reminds me of one I saw. Let's see if I can find this. Well, we'll just read this one, see if you think this is funny. Oh, delete. Now, here's one from one of my friends. He says, okay, friends, in capital letters. Mind your own, I can't read that word in church. Mind your own business. Yes, Pam and I are broke up. I don't want to hear about her, and she does not want to hear about me. It's simple. Everyone has limits, and we reached ours. Please don't comment telling me how sorry you are. It's for the better. Now just mind your own business. Why would you put it on Facebook? You need to mind your own business. I don't want anybody to know about this, although I'm telling the entire world that follows me and hoping you'll like my status. And this brings us to the final slide here, and my very favorite. If you air your dirty laundry in public, expect people to comment on the skid marks. Is that not? Oh, I almost got a snaffle there. That's a snort and a laugh if you guys don't know what that is. You know, we laugh at these things. How much of that was true in those four slides? Every one of them, I have seen that. I mean, I just read you. There was an example after I made the slides for today's message that came out, and I saw it. I'm thinking, dude, why did you even put that out there? I didn't even know he was dating anybody, much less that they had broke up, and I really didn't care. Then you get into the problem do I like their status or not? I don't know what to do. Should I like that status? Should I not like it? If I like it, that means I'm glad that they broke up. But if I don't write it, will that mean I don't care? How many of y'all, do you ever go through that in your heads, whether you like a status or not? You know, somebody puts down, please be praying for my uncle. He almost died in a horrific car crash. Like? Does that make sense? They need another button that says like prayer or concern or something instead of like. Yes, that is wonderful news. We all want to hear that, don't we? And we've talked about this a little here before. I really like the song Dirty Laundry for the opening of this. If you follow any social media on our local news channels, oh my goodness, it's controversy of the week is how they draw people to look at their Facebook pages. Okay, what can I put out here possibly that's going to be controversial and make people argue and embarrass themselves on our webpage? And that's what they do. They get out here with these crazy arguments and any hot button topic, whatever you can think of, from unions at Volkswagens to homosexuals on the county commission. I don't know. Anything you can think of, they will put it out there just to draw people into looking at their page because they know controversy sells. That's in the lyrics of the song. If you remember it, one of my favorite parts of that song is, can we film the operation? Is the head dead yet? I mean, come on, people really like to see controversy and things you shouldn't see online, things you shouldn't talk about. It piques our interest. That's one of the reasons I promoted this series with, have you heard any good rumors lately? For some reason, we are fascinated with knowing things that we shouldn't know or aren't any of our business. It's human nature. It's one of the ways that Satan, he uses things against us. But let's go through some points and some things here. Social media is a horrible avenue for emotional words because we speak before we think. Anybody ever get your mouth in gear before your brain catches up? And it's like, whoa, uh-oh. Yeah, that happens sometimes. That happens up here sometimes, believe it or not. But I like this from Forbes.com. It says, as human beings, our only real method of connection is through authentic communication. Studies show that only 7% of communication is based on the written or verbal word. A whopping 93% is based on nonverbal body language. Indeed, it's only when we can hear a tone of voice or a look in someone's eyes that we're able to know when I'm fine doesn't mean they're fine at all, or when I'm in doesn't mean they're bought in at all. Every relevant metric shows that we're interacting at breakneck speed and frequency through social media. But are we really communicating? With a 93% of our communication context stripped away, we are now attempting to forge relationships and make decisions based on phrases, abbreviations, snippets, emoticons, etc., which may or may not be an accurate representation of the truth. How do you communicate in written word? There's an art to it. That's the reason some people write books and some people read books. Okay? Not everybody can write a book because not everybody can communicate. It's very difficult. I will tell you one thing. One positive thing about social media, especially those of you, Twitter's kind of dead now. People just use it for advertising. But when you had to say what you're thinking in 140 characters or less, you had to really think about what you were going to say. And then they made it where it would tag on and you could do it like four times in a row. So it kind of lost its luster of being a brief, quick communication tool. But, you know, when Mark and I are speaking from up here, it's more difficult to say less than it is to ramble. To get down to your point, the things that I want you guys to know, I try and leave you some points I want you to remember each week. So that's a little more difficult. But this business of trying to communicate online and via text and things, it's hard. The one, and for all you guys out there, you should have recognized one phrase in this, I'm fine. Have you ever heard that? What does that mean? That is a loaded one. Yeah, Josh says it's a lie. Yeah, yeah. Just go ahead and figure out that you're done. Is Nikki here this morning? Oh, she's not in here. Yeah. Yeah. See, sometimes you can tell these things. Josh won't be fine when he gets home. But yeah, you know, even when we're communicating, but that I'm fine, if you look in their eyes, you can usually denote whether that's a I'm fine, it's okay, or I'm fine. There's a difference there, but see, it was the same words. And if I put that online without smiley faces and hexes and exclamation marks and hashtags and all that, you don't know what I meant there. So one of the things we have to do is we have to think before we speak, especially if we use social media, and even if we're communicating face-to-face. Because the Bible gives us specific words about this in James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Notice what that says. Slow to speak, slow to anger. That means you're supposed to think about these things. And also the slow to anger part means you're supposed to measure what's being communicated with you and not immediately fly off the handle and assume you know what's meant. That fair enough? It goes both ways. There's some responsibility on the listener. There's some responsibility on the speaker in these situations. So you have to look at both sides of the context. But that's a great verse. Slow, but quick to what? To hear. I think to listen would be an even better translation of that. Sometimes we hear things without listening. I can sit on the couch and be watching a movie, and I'll ask about a plot point and Karen and the girls, but they just explained that. Well, I don't know. I didn't hear it from the machine gun fire and the car chase, okay? That's what I was focused in on. But, you know, we will miss things, even sitting communicating to each other. I just said that. Did you not hear me? No, honestly, I may have heard you, but I didn't listen to you. So that's one of the things we have to be careful about is really listening, being slow with our words, thinking before we speak, and being slow to anger. Now, we live where? In the United States of America. And we have what? We have amendments, right? And what's one of them? Freedom of speech. Amen. Can I have an amen this morning for freedom of speech? That's the best thing in the world, isn't it? That gets us in more stinking trouble. You know, first of all, get this in mind, okay? Whether you believe America is a Christian nation or not, whatever that means and what that looks like in this day and time, we are not responsible to America. We're responsible to Jesus Christ. He has different standards than America does. You may have noticed that. There are things that Jesus tells us to do that we can't do as society. Yes, we have freedom of speech, and that comes up all the time. What can I say? What can I do? You know, I know an NBA owner that got a really good lesson on freedom of speech a couple of weeks ago. Did you hear that story? He made some bad remarks. Hey, they were made in private. They became public. He's losing his team. He's losing his life, in all honesty, because that's what his life was wrapped up in, because of the comments he made. Yes, he was free to make them, but just because you're free to make a comment doesn't mean there aren't repercussions to that comment after you make it. You know, there's a lot of things that can be said about that. But here's a great verse from Galatians about it. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That serving, you know, freedom of speech is 99% of the time self-serving, because it's I want to get my point across and I want to make sure you heard it and you listen to it because I have freedom of speech and you need to hear what I have to say. 99 times out of 100, that's the reason we're harping on freedom of speech, is because we're trying to get our point across. Unless that point somehow revolves around the truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and his death, burial, and resurrection, everything else pales in comparison. And I hope you get that as a Christian. It doesn't matter what you think about the government. It doesn't matter whether you like the president, you dislike the president. It doesn't matter whether you vote, you don't vote. It doesn't matter whether you salute the flag, you stand up, you do the pledge, you don't do the pledge. All those freedom of speech, all that pales in comparison to the commands we have that Jesus Christ has given us about being a witness for him. And let me put this plainly. If you say anything that detracts from Jesus Christ, you shouldn't have said it. I mean, it's as simple as that. Even if freedom of speech applies, you just shouldn't have said it. That just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. Exactly. Now, here's another great point. We've been called to serve. That verse talked about serving. Sometimes we have to sacrifice our opinion for the good of the community. I don't like that one. I think my opinion is more important than yours. How many of y'all think that? How many of you think that as well? Is your opinion more important? Yes, I have double hands raised back here. Their opinion is more important than mine. No, that actually wasn't Josh that time. That was another one of the stooges back there. Yeah, I mean, that one can bite you too, but my opinion is important. That's the reason we get on social media and use our First Amendment rights, is so I can push my opinion and you can see what it's all about. You need to know what I'm thinking because it's very important. And, you know, the world would be just fantastic if everyone thought just like me. It would be great. It's not what we're about as Christians. Look at Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, the good of the community was more important to Jesus than his own personal needs. Do you think that, do you remember there's the part in the New Testament where it talks about Jesus praying in the garden? He's actually asking God, will you pass this away from me? Is there any other way to do this? Jesus' opinion was he didn't want to do that necessarily. But he knew that it was what he had to do to redeem mankind. And he went ahead and did it anyway. He sacrificed himself, the good of himself, to provide a ransom for many. We as Christians speak through requirements not only about what we say, but how we say it. Ah. So Don was mentioning, you know, speaking the truth. Is the truth sometimes hard to hear? It's real hard to hear sometimes. Now, I'm not one that when I'm on stage, I like to sugarcoat the truth necessarily. I want you to know what the Bible says because it's for your own good. It wouldn't have been written down in Scripture if God didn't think we needed it to apply to our lives. And, you know, we don't make any bones about that here. We're not going to say, oh, well, I realize your situation is unique, so it's okay for you. No, if Scripture says it's not okay for any of us. Now, we understand, though, also, there are circumstances in life that you just get messed up in things, and I understand that. But when we are talking to each other about those things, there are requirements about what we say and how we say it. Let's look first at Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only as such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That verse is loaded with truth. First of all, don't let corrupting talk come out of your mouth. If it's not healthy for somebody, if it's tearing somebody down, it doesn't need to come out of your mouth to start with. Only those things that are good for building up. People that are in a negative situation, you can build them up with positive words. It's one of the things we're here for each week, is to encourage each other. You can make a positive impact by building others up. And I also like, as it fits the occasion, you have to kind of gauge what the situation is and how you speak, that it may give grace to those who hear. So if you're going to talk to somebody about a difficult situation, and I do it every week, as being the person that's in charge of our recovery ministry here, I talk to people about hard things that I have to tell them. Your lifestyle is going to kill you. Your lifestyle is going to put you in jail. Your lifestyle is going to cause you to lose your business. Those are not pleasant conversations, but I have to do it with a brokenheartedness for them. Not that I'm condemning you and you're just a piece of trash because you can't do this. You're just a piece of trash. You can't get off drugs. Why can't you be more like normal people? No, it's because my heart breaks from knowing the situation they're in. If they don't change, that something tragic is going to happen to them. That really changes the way you speak to someone if you have some empathy for where they're at instead of just condemning them with your speech. Let's move on to Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Again, that kind of goes along with those situations, analyzing the situation and how you should speak to someone in that situation. I like this next one, Proverbs 15. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pours out a folly. Man. Soft answers turn away wrath. If you're in a heated discussion with someone, do you know what buttons to push sometimes? What to say? Oh, yeah. Leslie refers to it as throwing gasoline on the fire at times. You know, somebody lights the match and somebody throws the gasoline on it and away it goes. And that's what happens sometimes is we don't apply gracious words to the situation. We stir up even more hard feelings. And you can certainly see that in social media. And I do get the point of what my friend was saying about minding their own business on Facebook, because what will happen is people will begin, and this is a difficult thing in social media. What if you're friends with both people in this couple that are having this open argument and discussion on Facebook? What do you do then? Unfollow. Yeah, click, click, unfollow, unfollow. Yeah, before I say anything I should. Because what happens is people begin to take sides. And then they start condemning one side or the other, and you have this giant split. If you've ever been in a church where you've experienced a couple in your church that's gotten a divorce, you will see that. People taking sides. It's not the Christian thing to do. Start condemning one side or the other, unless there's something grossly abusive going on, which that happens. And those situations do need to be addressed. But often it's just based on our opinion and who we're friends with. And then we start, well, you know, he did do so and so, or she is such and such. And so we start doing that and taking sides instead of giving a soft answer. We just try and make it that much worse for people and start supporting them in something they probably shouldn't be supported in to start with. This is my favorite point of the whole day. Sometimes it's just better to keep your mouth shut. Your mama ever tell you that? Maybe if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Sometimes we just need to know when to hush, when to just drop it, especially if you are in any kind of emotional mood, whether it be good or bad. Sometimes if your emotions are about to override what you're fixing to say, just don't say it. You know, if I got up here and preached angry each week, none of you guys would ever be back because you'd think, oh my gosh, that's the most despicable, despising man I've ever seen. He's angry every week. He's like, every week I come in and he knows what I did during the week, it seems like, and he nails me on it. He's like, you just did so-and-so. I can't believe you did that. You did it. You do it over and over. Why in the world do you do that? You know, that's not the way to speak. We have to be responsible for what we say. And sometimes we should just keep our mouth shut. There are some really cool verses now that we're going to go through. Listen to some of these. You might want to write these down. These are just great, from some of them from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Some of these are humorous, are they not? It's like, and we're going to do a series one day around the title, something like Bible Tweets, and it's going to be from Proverbs. There is more truth in a few words in Proverbs than anything you can imagine. Listen to that. You're smart until people hear you open your mouth, is what that verse means. That's exactly what it's talking about. Do what? They fit on Twitter. You can Twitter them. Exactly. James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. How many times have you heard about the hypocritical Christian? We do that to ourselves. We do that when we speak, when we don't think, when we say things that we shouldn't. And you're just like what? The rest of the world. You know what? We are like the rest of the world. We're all fallen. We're all in the same boat. We all sin. We all fall short of what God would have us to do. So, yes, we are in the same boat, but we should be trying harder. Okay? This one is from Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Oh, yeah. It's hard to get in trouble if you don't say anything sometimes, isn't it? How many of you have ever been in a situation, let's say you're having a discussion with your spouse and you then learned and regret that you should have kept your mouth shut and it would have kept you out of trouble? How many of you have done that? The famous one you see on TV is, does this make me look fat? You can't answer that. It's like, I'm sorry. Hey, what about those Braves? Did you see that game last night? You know, there's some things you just can't answer. It's better just to keep your mouth shut and stay out of trouble. Okay? We are responsible for the words we say. This is from Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. That's tough. That's darn scary. You know, the way I liken this, any of you guys ever taken a hunter, or ladies, taken a hunter safety or a gun safety class? Some of you that have been through that, the one thing they tell you is when you fire that gun, you are responsible for where that bullet goes. No matter where it lands, you are responsible for that, okay? When we speak, no matter where those words land, we are responsible for them. That's a tough thing. And like I said, it's scary to think that we're going to be judged based on our speech, what we said. You're probably sitting there right now thinking, boy, I shouldn't have said that, should I? It's a good thing God is a gracious God and forgives us, because there's things that we say that are almost unforgivable. So think about that. Now, you've probably seen this as well. Some of us seem to have bipolar personalities online. Anybody notice that? Well, today I'm just praising God because of the things He's done for me. God is so wonderful. I walk with Him in the cool mist of the morning. And Did you see what that GD so-and-so did on? I can't believe that MF and so-and-so did such and such. Can you believe? In the same day, look at this picture. 1 minute your posts are cussing folk out. The next minute you're quoting scriptures. Can you say bipolar? Y'all seen that? Is there anything quicker to ruin your testimony than to do that? Because they say, they're not real. See, all that religion stuff, it's just made up, and they're just covering up the crap in their life with this pretty veneer of religion because they're just messed up, and they don't want you to know it. When you do that, it's what happens. Believe it or not, there's a verse in the Bible that addresses this, James 3, 9 and 10. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and talking about our tongue, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. And I think the key to that verse is when we're doing that, when we're downing people, when we're cussing people, when we're condemning people, the thing, and then this is another one that is scary, is made in the likeness of God. It's God's child. God loves them just as much as He loves you. And if you're going to do that, you need to consider you're not only offending that person, you're offending the person that made them. You're offending God Himself when we do that. We ought not have both coming out of our mouth. And I'm not saying that you have, and it's not so much about the words we're saying, it's how we use them. I'm not saying nobody's ever going to slip up and not say a cuss word. I try and keep this GPG in here. Everybody messes up, though. Do not come in my shop when I'm putting an alternator on the car in the next few days. It's not a good thing. There are bad things that may happen in there. I may not say, God in heaven, thank you for this alternator problem. I am so blessed this morning to be able to lay under my car with oil dripping on my nose, and I just jammed my finger all the way up to the third knuckle trying to get this alternator off. But bless you and thank you. Who does that? Nobody does that. You go, oh, God. You know, and you just have to go back and walk away sometimes. But it ought not be. What that's talking about is our attitude in our heart shouldn't be one where we can spew filth and junk out of our mouths as well as praising the Lord. But now, what does all this have to do with us here this morning? You'd probably like to know that if you're here. We need to talk about what it has to do with us. Well, let's have an honest conversation about it, okay? As part of the reason I asked how many of you had heard any rumors or anything like that about Journey Church. Did anybody read anything that in the past 2 or 3 weeks concerning Journey Church on social media, on Facebook especially, that you thought, what is that all about? Anybody read something like that? Yeah, we got a few. Oh, look at you snickering back there like you didn't see it.
I saw it. I didn't see it.
Yes, you did. If you saw, and it's okay, because what we're going to talk about for the rest of this message this morning is how it was dealt with and what we do as a church and being honest with each other. You know, pretending we don't, you can't unsee things, okay? You know, you can't unsee it. It's like, oh, didn't see that. It's out of my mind now. No, it doesn't work that way because you're sitting here thinking, wonder what that means. Wonder what's going on. It's the reason I ask, you heard any good rumors lately? Because I was just hoping to turn up some more that maybe I hadn't heard about so I could address them. Like, man, what are these people, what do y'all do all week? I mean, how do you come up with this stuff? You know, they're doing so-and-so. And you know the reason Mark's not here today is because I can talk about him behind his back. That's the reason Mark's not here this morning. Actually, Mark's getting a deserved day off with his wife that he never gets to have, and I'm so tickled that he was able to do that today. So we timed my teaching slot in so he could be gone. But, yeah, let's be honest. Here's my first point I want to make. Just because we think social media is a and this is because we do think social media is a poor venue for voicing your concerns, doesn't mean we don't value your input. Again, we've been talking through Scripture, and I hope I've shown this through the Bible, not just my opinion as a pastor at Journey, but as what God's Word says, social media and airing your dirty laundry there or your complaints or criticisms, it's not the best venue for that, especially when we have an open-door policy here of who you can come and give input to. You know, we don't think that's a good way to do it because it gets misinterpreted. No matter how good it is, if 97% or 93% of what we say is based on our tone of voice, our emotions, our expressions and things, you can't throw a bomb out on Facebook and expect people, everybody, to understand what you meant about it. So that doesn't mean we don't want you to say it to us. It's just, let's be careful about how we spread that, okay? That's what I mean by that. Now, this particular post was made by my dear brother Kelly, and we've all agreed back here. Yay! Everybody give Kelly a hand. Yeah, we've all agreed, and I talked to Kelly about this as we worked through this issue and things and talked about it. I'm not going to throw Kelly under the bus because I said stupider things than he has online, okay? Stupider, yeah, that's a good word. Stupider is a good word. Hey, we're in the South. Where'd you grow up? Stupider is right there up with Ewens. Some of Ewens is stupider than others. See, I can say that. So what we need to do is have this honest conversation this morning, and we're able to do that because Kelly and I and Richard and everybody that was kind of involved in the situation, we value our relationships with each other and our relationships with Jesus more than we do about being right or wrong. And that's something you don't hear in a lot of churches. They won't, you know, if concerns come up, they won't address it. Well, the first thing was, our church isn't in trouble, okay? Our church is financially sound. We have a place to meet, a roof over our heads. There are tremendous programs and life change going on here. We're not in trouble, y'all. Now, but I'm going to address here in a minute what that really means and what was meant by that. There are some things, though, that even though we aren't in trouble, Journey Church does have some challenges that need to be addressed, okay? Some of the things that were in this post, and like I said, it was out on Facebook, so some of you saw it, some of you aren't admitting you saw it, and some of you are wondering, oh God, what's he going to do? Is he going to excommunicate Kelly from the church in the next 5 minutes? We're going to vote on it. Yeah, Kelly, you're gone. I tricked you into being here this morning just so I could get, but I need to find a, speaking of alternators, he may have an alternator I need, so I'm going to excommunicate him after I get my alternator from him. But no, seriously, we want to talk honestly about this morning because people's feelings got hurt needlessly, but there is something going on that we need to talk about, okay? Y'all good with that? Can we be honest this morning? Okay, one of the things we've talked about a little bit, and even at staff meeting we've talked about it, and sometimes this is hard. Sometimes we feel like we get in a rut, okay? It's not that any of us aren't trying to commit and do our jobs here. It's not that any of us think this isn't worthwhile. Y'all ever get in a rut at home? Get in a rut in your job? Get in a rut anywhere else? Do you just get where you feel like you're going through the motions week in and week out? How many of y'all felt that way lately? How many of you felt that way about here sometimes? Honest. Raise your hand. I don't care. Do you feel like sometimes we just go through the motions? It gets a little stale sometimes, okay? There are reasons for that, and that's part of our honest conversation that we're going to have this morning is how we're going to address some of those challenges. Because there are times, hey, sometimes it's draining to be here. And I'll explain why in a minute. You know, it's so difficult sometimes to have church and a life and balance all of this. How many of y'all have trouble with balance in your life? No, Don never does. Don's just lucky to be here this morning. I was surprised when he walked in the door. He's so busy with, yeah, explain balance. Yeah. Yeah, most of you don't even know what that means. That just means you're not ready to kill yourself. Well, One of the Facebook things I posted this week, and by the way, there is a button on Facebook, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, that your posts only go to you. What in the world is that for? Is that just, I'm going to make a rant, by golly, and I'm going to tell myself off. Oh, I got a snaffle on the front row, a snort and a laugh, then your laugh causes you snort. Hey, I was wondering why. And honestly, we all have a bit of ego when we post things. We want to know who looks at them and who looks at them. I'm like, nobody liked that post. What's wrong with that? I mean, I posted a great one. It said, hey, people don't give me truly enough credit for the pressure I'm under that I'm not a raging psychopath. Okay? That's funny. You know, that happens to all of us because we don't have balance in our lives. I'm thinking, well, why'd nobody look at that? And I finally looked this morning when I made the announcement about our teaching the series this morning. I'm like, why is that? Cassie, did that show up on your phone? No, Dad. I'm looking. I'm posting these things to myself. It's on lock. I'm like, I didn't even know. And you know, yeah, it was great. I like my own post. I try not to do that. That's just really over the top as being as far as egotistical is to like your own post. But, you know, I'm thinking, golly. And you know how that happened? There are two things that are very dangerous in social media. The two things are drunk posting and drowsy posting. I'm sure I was sitting there reading or something. I hit the lock button and had no idea I hit it. You know, I had the Facebook thing in hand. Scott, put the phone up, go to bed. Okay, yes, ma'am. Hey, but in saying all that, you know, we have to have balance in our lives. And that's what happens to all of us here. And one of the things I want you to realize is some of the challenges that need to be addressed is one thing is that Journey Church has to operate within the constraints of money and time that are given to us, okay? This is where our conversation gets honest this morning, okay? And some of you may not realize how Journey's structured. If you're a guest, I apologize if this part's a little boring to you, but I want to just tell you a little bit about the structure of Journey. We have two pastors here, myself and Mark, okay? Neither one of your pastors work here full time. Your two pastors work 40 to 60 hour jobs a week between them. Neither one of us sit here getting to daydream about what we want to do at Journey and how God's going to use it. Unfortunately, and I know this sounds bad, this doesn't even sound Christ-like, Journey has to fall in our spare time. Okay? That's just a reality of the situation. Mark would be here full time. We don't have the money. We don't have the attendance. We don't have the things to support that. Why God has not given us that, I don't know. Maybe he likes us being what in the New Testament was called tent-making preachers, where you made your living doing making tents, and then you went out and you preached beside that. Maybe that's what God has for us. I don't know. But it makes it more difficult to run a church like that. We don't have someone that's sitting here all week just trying to think of things to do with their time. We're pressured each week to work our jobs, have time for our families, as well as do this. And I want you to especially hear this point this morning, if you don't get anything else. This is not about you guys feeling sorry for us as pastors and staff. This is just to let you know the way things work. And also maybe to encourage you, some of you, that, hey, everybody has it rough. Even the people that are serving God in a full-time role, such as a pastor, don't have a bed of roses that it's easy all the time. But we have to work with the constraints we're given. Flip that picture up there. David's staff. Okay, here to make Sunday mornings happen, this is our staff. We have Mark, we have Stephanie and David in students, we have Richard, and I didn't have a picture of Wendy. Wendy should really be there. She's a big part of worship with him as well as everybody that's in the band. We have me, and we have question mark. Which one of you wants to be question mark? Raise your hand. Yes, I knew I couldn't get any suckers for that. What that question mark is are the things that fall that these people don't have time necessarily to do every week, okay? Because each one of these, everyone on here works 40 hours or more a week, okay? Just like you do. We all work full-time jobs plus do Journey. Musicians have to prepare. They have to learn the music. They have to be able to perform it up here on stage and lead you in worship. Mark and I have to come up with teaching and series and things like that along with others that help us with that. David and Stephanie are here every Wednesday night and have been here two other nights a week doing Bible studies and things like that. And we're all working while doing that. So there are things. That's the reason sometimes things may seem a bit in a rut, seem like, you know, we're just going through the motions, is because if we're going to cut anything, guys, it's going to be frills. I'll just be honest. It's going to be flashy stuff. It's going to be things that take a lot of time, because the most important thing that any of us can do is to convey to you the gospel of Jesus each week and what his death, burial, and resurrection means to you on a daily basis in your life. Whether we've got lights, sound, music, cool environments, any of that, that's our number one responsibility, is to come up here and do that each week. So if I'm going to cut something, it's not going to be the content of what I'm praying about and I'm going to try. It's on my heart that I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to deliver to you. It's going to be something cool. Now, I'm going to give you a great example of what happens when this happens here, okay? This morning, I have ideas. There's all kinds of ideas running through my head that we could do. What would have really been cool was when we played that. First of all, if we'd had enough musicians available today, it would have been cool to bust out Dirty Laundry live on stage. The guys would have loved to play. Our guys are not up here saying, I don't think that's appropriate. I don't want to play that this week. I want us to be more acoustic in worship because it brings us the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hey, the Holy Spirit, as far as he's concerned, music is neutral, okay? One is not more praiseworthy of him than the other, whether it's got a driving beat with a guitar or whether it's hands raised acoustic praise. It's about what goes on in our hearts when the music is played, not how the music's being played. And we sometimes get wrapped up in this. Yes, we are different. We are still different, even this morning, with an acoustic set than most churches, okay? But the reason for this is simply availability, what people can do, how they can participate in this. One of the things I was talking about, I was daydreaming about, okay, can you imagine the band's busting out Dirty Laundry live? We've got guitars, drums, we've got the full band here on stage. And then we've got this cool video, and as they're playing it, there's these images of dirty T-shirts coming up and hanging on the line, and each one of them's got something like gossip and rumors, and all these cool things are coming up, and we're visually illustrating what we want to do. Does all that sound neat to you? Would you have liked to have seen that this morning? Could we have pulled it off? How many would you have thought that was cool? That would have been great, wouldn't it? We can't do it. We don't have the resources right now to do that. It was difficult. I wanted to just make a slideshow, and you know what I decided this week? My time was better spent instead of animating those three pictures or four we had at the front to go with that music, just to let it play to a black screen and get up here and talk about the pictures. Why should we spend so much time doing those things? Now, get this part straight as well. There is an attractional element to what we do here, and we realize that, and we do that intentionally. Not too many people will go to church this morning where there's sheet metal on the walls. You have a brick wall back here. You have lights. You have video, you have motion backgrounds behind it, you have these things. We've got a lot of things that other people don't have still. But the reason that sometimes we can't carry this out is we need to spread this load more. We need more help with it. We need people that can develop video, that can run sound, that can play musical instruments, that can sing. All these things here. Remember that verse we talked about earlier? Remember the verse about serving? That was Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. That means it's all of us here. You guys are all part of this community, and we have a wide variation of community. That is one of the challenges to being Journey Church, is we have such a wide range of people. Y'all can all look around this morning and see something, somebody that's very different from you. We can find somebody that is the opposite of you. Now, you may be sitting in clusters where you're more comfortable with the people that look like you, but some of you, you know, we all dress differently. I tend to dress casually. Some people like to dress up more. They like to wear khaki. Some people tuck their shirts in. Some wear them out. There's no rules for this here at Journey. If you want to come in a suit and tie and you're comfortable, that's fine. If you want to come in shorts and flip-flops, that's fine. We're not about all that. And we want this to be comfortable for everyone. But what I want to get across to you is that means everyone, not just people like you. And if you look around this morning, we have such a wide variety. And I thought of this example the other day. We have everything, and this is no slide on somebody, and he understands why, and I'm going to explain it. We have everything from barbers to nuclear engineers in this congregation. That's a pretty wide conversation. And you say, now, Scott, comparing Kelly to a nuclear engineer. Come on, Scott. You know, don't be throwing your brother under the bus back there. Don't be making fun of it. I will leave you with this one thought on that. How many of you will let a nuclear engineer cut or do your hair? It ain't going to happen, is it? So everyone has their role in the church, whatever it may be. We all have unique things that God wants us to do that only we can do. And I love this. Following Christ requires sacrificial commitment. Sometimes we have to do the things we don't want to do necessarily. May not be our cup of tea. There are lots of things you can do here, and we're going to talk about a few of those here in just a moment. Some opportunities we have for serving, for being a part of this congregation. But sometimes it means you have to decide, am I going to go have fun this weekend, or am I going to come to Journey and help out? Because I can't just blow church off because I have commitments, I have things. God really needs you to be here. Because one of the main things for us to be here every week for is to encourage one another. It's not just coming up here and learning. A lot of the ministry at Journey goes on in the hallways and the parking lot here before, after, and during the service. Of people sharing needs, of telling how much they love each other, of making things right with each other. That happens here. But I want you to think about this as far as sacrificial commitment goes. It's like this song lyric. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Meatloaf. Is that not true of us in the Christian community? What do you guys need to do? I'll do anything. I can, oh, shoot. No, I'm going fishing that day. Sorry. I'll do anything. Oh, no, man, I can't do that. No, I don't want to do that. Well, what about, no, I can't do that either. But I do have a window of opportunity that I can do something between, say, 11:30 p.m. and 12:15 a.m. on Saturday night. Have you got anything in that slot I can do? Hey, sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. If it were me, my ideal church would probably meet on Sunday nights at 6:30, and we'd be blowing the roof off this place with music. It'd be wild. It'd be crazy. There'd be bikers in the parking lot. Yeah, people would be, there'd be homeless people in the woods behind us. There'd be people out here doing drugs in the parking lot. Hey. Yeah. But, you know, we look at these things with what we want. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. And we are a community, a faith community, where we need to love each other. Even if we do have differences in opinion. And the thing that I want to tell you that makes Journey so different than any other church likely that you'll ever be a part of is the way this Facebook post was handled. It wasn't swept under the rug. It was dealt with person to person. Unfortunately, one of the people, hey, Richard was so offended by this. Let me tell you, Richard went out of town. He was so offended. He went all the way into, you know, other countries to get away from that. Richard was on a cruise. He couldn't respond to it, which was good. But we all worked behind the scenes with each other, talking to each other via text, phone calls, whatever it took, and talked. And as Richard and Kelly said, hugged it out and talked to each other and said, man, I didn't mean to offend anybody by this. What I say is still true. Sometimes it does feel like we're going through the motions, and I would like to see things different. But I understand our limitations, and I never meant to offend anybody or say what you're doing is not good enough. Man, anybody's contributing anything to Journey, what you're doing is fantastic. And we love it. We love you being a part of this community. That's never the intention. But that was the fantastic way about all this, seeing it being handled. And, I mean, I'm thinking there's probably 10 people's lives that were touched during this, individuals that I know of, and watching the grace that it was responded with, watching the humility, watching people sorry if they had hurt others' feelings, watching public and private apologies and things going on. That's the way a Christian community reacts to a situation. Go ahead. That's great. Give these guys a hand because I'm proud of them. It's not the music that makes Journey different. It's the community and our values and how we value each other and we value Christ. That's what makes us different. And that's what we want to hang our hat on as a church. Now, are there challenges? Absolutely. And I hope I have been as honest as I can be this morning about those challenges. You know, we need people to help us. Okay, we've got a sign-up sheet back there for a barbecue. One of the reasons we're doing a barbecue next week is for you guys to have a chance just to hang out and have fun, because coming here for an hour, listening to somebody speak and zipping out the door, you don't get to know each other. There are folks here, we need to know more about each other. You know, we're all different, and that makes it even harder to get to know each other because, you know, we look different. And I'll say this, I don't really see cliques at Journey. I see people that have things in common gravitating together, and there's nothing wrong with that, guys. You gravitate to people that have things in common with you. As long as you aren't intentionally excluding others from your group, there's nothing wrong with hanging out with people you enjoy their company. And if you want to invite people and they don't enjoy your company, don't get offended when they don't come and they don't enjoy being with you. We're all different. I would choose to be with the people I like hanging out with. If I have an opportunity and I'm asked, Scott, our group is going tonight, and we're going to the men's ballet. It's something we really enjoy seeing, and we like to watch it. Or somebody says, Scott, we're going to the dirt track. You want to go hang out in the pits? Don't get offended when I go to the dirt track, okay? It's what I like to do. I'm going to hang out with the people I have things in common with. Guys, this is about life, y'all. This is not about church. Church is, guys, get this straight. The church goes beyond this hour we meet together on Sunday mornings and all our personalities and our differences and our likes and dislikes. It's a much bigger thing than that. And that's the reason I wanted to be honest with you this morning, so you can see these things and see we struggle. People that have different personalities and we have to work together for the common cause of attracting anyone that doesn't know Jesus, it's hard to work together. Who's in the middle of that, do you think, trying to keep us apart? Satan. We need the church lady slide. Who could it be? Satan. Remember that? Remember the church lady, Dana Carvey? You know, that's what we need. That's who gets in between our relationships. He gets in our church. He does so many things to us that keep us from being the people that God wants us to be. And my main prayer for you guys this morning, as we close, Richard and Wendy, guys, if you come on up, is that we'll be the church that God wants us to be, whatever it looks like. Whether it's we all wearing three-piece suits, I probably won't be here. But if it's, or if we're, you know, whatever it is, whatever worship style we use, whatever it may be, hey, I want us to be the people that God wants us to be. And, you know, whatever that looks like. And I hope you guys are content with that, too. I hope it's okay with you, whatever we look like. As long as we're being authentic with each other, we're loving each other, and we're serving together. Guys, I want you to start looking around. This is my final challenge as we leave, for places you can plug in and serve. Because not only do we need you, you need us, because you need to be involved in something that's bigger than yourself. We have opportunities every week to serve in our children's area. We need people to get out here and bring things for breakfast. If you want snacks, bring something to eat. If you gripe about it, you don't like what we have to eat, bring something. You know, don't gripe about something and not participate, okay? You've got to participate, too. We have opportunities for people to run slides back here, learn computer stuff, do video, run sound. We've got all these opportunities. And this goes for youth, too. If you're a youth, if you're above middle school age, you're mature enough to handle it, and we could use your help as well. So, guys, I just want to leave you with that. Let's have a quick prayer as these guys get ready to lead us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be completely honest with my friends here this morning. And I thank you for the way your Spirit moved in us. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit falls on us. And we don't do this to just go through the motions, but we realize the importance of everything we do in leading others to know you and to know you better, God, and to not leave them in their sins, but to lead them out of them. And God, just pray that you'll continue to do that in our midst. And thank you for loving us and all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.